over and say it to me. And thank you for that wonderful song. A new year is upon us. Amen? I like it. For many, last year was filled with wonderful moments. There was births. There was weddings. Other great events. For many, there were joyful messages. You, maybe grandpa or grandma, you got the call from your son or daughter. We're expecting. Amen. That's a joyful moment, joyful message. Amen. And for many, there were precious memories made. You spent some time with your family and your church family that you'll never forget. And you're glad for all those things. But for others, last year was a year of sinful regrets. There were opportunities that were lost. For others, it was not only sinful regrets, but some spiritual retreats. Maybe there's some in here this morning, you gave up some ground to the devil last year. It happens. Yeah. Amen. It happens. If you think it can't happen to you, you're a prime candidate. Amen. But there was also some that got severe reports last year. It's cancer. Maybe you tried with all your heart and soul to speak to a loved one about Christ and they shunned you. You know, think about last year, there's certainly some sinful regrets and spiritual retreats and severe reports, and there's also some sorrowful removals, wasn't there? I was looking at the slideshow and I saw Brother Earl. And I thought, boy, I miss Brother Earl. I miss Nancy Horsch. I miss Shelby Arnold. Lost Mr. Reynolds and Rio Parker last year, our oldest members. But you know what? Last year is history. It's gone. It's gone. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Many of you know those verses. But it tells us there in the book of Philippians, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Don't live in the past, ladies and gentlemen. I love a slideshow like that to think about memories, but listen, 2013 is gone. Then it says, "I forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Could I recommend in this time of many new resolutions for the year? And I think of one. I think Brother Ken Lawley and I think we should resolve not to drink any green juice. What do you think of that, brother? Amen. Would that be a good resolution for you and I? And Mrs. Lawley, you can drink all of ours. Amen. Everybody makes resolutions this time of year. I thought of when Brother Meir said, "How many of you are on track with your Bible?" I thought, boy, every hand ought to go up. We're 5 days deep into the year. Amen. Can I recommend that during this time of resolutions that each one of us resolve to say, "Out with the old and in with the new." Amen. Now, let me clarify what I mean by that. Just in case there are those of you that are thinking our pastor has gone off the deep end. When I say out with the old and in with the new, first of all, I don't mean old people. Thank you, Brother Merrill said. Amen. I don't mean that at all. No, by the way, I get many compliments from guests that come and say, "I love the mix of your church. I love the fact that you had all these babies born last year, but you've got folks in their 70s and 80s as well." There's a lot of churches, and I've been part of some of them, where it was only young families. That's all. And you know what? When you have only young families and no elderly, you have all zeal and no wisdom. And we've seen the opposite happen too, where it's all wisdom and no zeal. And I thank God for that. So I certainly don't mean out with old people. You know what else I don't mean? I don't mean out with old paths. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. As long as I am drawing breath from God and I am the pastor of this church, we will be an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James, soul-winning, separated Baptist church. So I'm not talking about old past. I'm not talking about out with old people or out with old past. By the way, I'm not talking about out with the old parchments. Amen. We use the King James Bible. And we will always use the King James Bible. Listen, it doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Amen? So I'm not talking about old, out with the old people, past parchments. You know what else I'm not talking about? I'm not talking about out with the old positions. You know, we still believe here in 2014 what this church believed in 1967 when this building was built. We still believe God is a triune God. We still believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We still believe that you're supposed to stand for the faith. And can I say this? And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I believe that our world is sliding left into immorality. And you know what that makes us look like? We're really, really, really far to the right. But you know what? We're standing right where we've always stood. The whole world is sliding left. We haven't moved. And I'll tell you what, we're not saying out with the old paths. We're not saying out with the old positions. We're not saying out with the old parchments or out with the old people. In our text, the first text we read is one of the great texts in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Boy, I remember that. Seems like it was yesterday. But next month, it'll be 19 years since I trusted Christ. Amazing. Amazing. And I remember what it was to realize that I was a new creature. Those old desires, I didn't have to obey them anymore. Because I was a new creature. And in Colossians chapter 3 and then also in Ephesians chapter 4, we're told there about how we're in Christ. If you look at Colossians chapter 3, our text, it says there in verse 3, for ye are dead. That means dead to the flesh, we're dead to the old ways, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And by the way, if you struggle with your security, that's a great verse. The devil would love to get at you, Uncle Joe, but he can't get to you because you're hid with Christ in God. That's a fence the devil can never scale. Amen? And so, it talks about our old nature. It talks about our new nature here. And I want to, I've got 10 points, and I promise you, I'm aware of the time here. But I want to help you, if I could, with the Lord's help, to help me to say, out with the old and in with the new. What are we saying, Pastor? Out with the old master and in with the new master, first of all, this morning. Out with the old master. You know, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, listen, we're children of Abraham. Jesus said, listen, if you were children of Abraham, you'd rejoice at me. Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. And then he looked at them, he said, you're of your father, the devil. In the works of your father, you do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, before you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know who your master was? The devil. You say, oh, I'm not a Satan worshiper. I never served the devil. If you weren't God's child, you were somebody else's. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to say out with the old master and in with the new master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you got saved, if we could put it this way, say you were living in an apartment and paying rent, and somebody came along and they bought that apartment building, and they put up a sign and it said, under new management. Would you be foolish to keep paying your old landlord rent as well as your new landlord? You know what you are if you're saved? You're under new management. And so you know what? Let's say out with the old master and in with the new in 2014. Let's really call Him Lord. Amen. Let's not only really call Him Lord, let's really show Him by our lives that we live that He is Lord. Jesus Himself said, "Why call you Me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I've commanded you?" Let's say out with that old master and in with the new. How about this one? Not only out with the old master, in with the new master. How about out with the old nature and in with the new nature? See, again, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to take up His permanent residence and He made you a new creation. He gave you a new nature. And that new nature, in Romans chapter 7, Paul talked about how his old nature wanted to do the things of the flesh, but that new nature wanted to serve God. You see it in verse number 5 of Colossians chapter 3. Look at it. It talks about the old nature. It says, "Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth." It's talking about your flesh, your old nature. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Boy, I wish there'd be more mortifying of that today. Amen. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then if you jump down to verse 8, "But now ye also put off all these." Anger, wrath, malice. You think anger and wrath and malice are of the Spirit of God? I don't think so. No. And it keeps going there. "Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man." Can I say it this way? Feed your spirit, and spiritually speaking, starve your flesh. Oh, I'm not talking about don't eat. Please eat. Amen. I don't mean that at all. But I mean your flesh that wants to do the things of the flesh. Why don't you starve that dog? Why don't you starve that dog? And listen, fill up on good things. Fill up on the Word of God. Fill up on prayer. Fill up on fellowship. Fill up on coming to the house of God. Amen. Fill up on serving the Lord. Listen, let's say out with the old master, in with the new master. Out with the old nature, the flesh, in with the new nature, the spirit. Number 3, out with the old sins, in with the new spirit. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 4. It's a parallel passage to Colossians chapter 3. But in Ephesians chapter 4, you see in verse number 22, and again, very, very similar verses here, but it's elaborated well here in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then it goes on a laundry list of things that, you know what we should say? We should say, out with the old. It talks about lying in verse 25. "Wherefore put away lying. Let every man speak truth to his neighbor. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Hey, you know what? Married couples in this room, let me just tell you what that's saying there in verse 25. It talks away, put away lying. It talks about something else we ought to put away in verse 26, and that's pouting. Oh, I know there's no kids in this room, but we like that song around Christmas time. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. You know, the reason couples go to bed mad sometimes, and it creates a fracture in the relationship, and by the way, sometimes it never heals, ladies and gentlemen, is because one is pouting. Yeah. One didn't get their way. One lost the argument, so to speak. Listen, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Life is too short. Amen? No lying, no pouting. Verse 27, look at it. It says, "Neither give place to the devil." No more allowing. No more allowing the devil to have place. And it keeps going. They're stealing, and it talks about corrupt communication in verse 29, and grieving the Holy Spirit in verse 30, and the growing sins of verse 31. You look at it, it says bitterness grows into wrath, and wrath grows into anger, and anger grows into clamor, and evil speaking, and malice, the desire to do physical harm. Hey, you know what? Let's say out with those old sins, and in with the Spirit. You say, what, where's the Spirit there? Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What's the easiest way to keep from sinning, Pastor? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Have self put down. So out with the old master, in with the new master. Out with the old nature, in with the new nature. Out with the old sins, in with the new Spirit. How about this? Out with the old offenses, in with the new love. It's so easy, ladies and gentlemen, to get offended. Some of you, you never get offended. Listen, I offend more people by accident than some people do on purpose. It's so easy to get offended. It's so easy to take offense at something somebody says. You know, verse 32 here in Ephesians 4 will help us with that. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, when somebody says something and you have the opportunity to take offense, you know what you could say? Boy, maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they're having a rough time. Maybe they're in physical pain right now that I'm not in and I don't have any idea about. You know, the Bible says, charity thinketh no evil. So you know what? Let's say, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And let's say, you know what? Yeah, I could get offended. But let's say out with the old offenses, and in with the new love, one for another. Amen? Out with the old master, in with the new master. Out with the old nature, in with the new nature. Out with the old sins, in with the new spirit. Out with the old offenses, in with the new love. How about this one? Out with the old failures and in with the new victories. Don't you get tired of losing to the devil? I do. I do. Amen. I think, my goodness, why on earth did I try to fight him in my own strength? Why didn't I? The Bible talks about in Hebrews 12:1 that each one of us has a sin which doth so easily beset us. You say, Pastor, what is your sin which doth so easily beset you? It's absolutely none of your business. And if you promise not to ask me, I'll promise not to ask you. But each one of us has one, don't we? By the way, it varies. For some people, you think about differences. So for some people, it's laziness. For other people, it's overwork. It's amazing how God will bless us with these, and Satan will take these weak points and put his thumb on them. You know what? Let's say out with the old failures and in with the new victories. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? Out with those. By the way, praise God, those failures are gone. They're in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered by God again. Let's put up a no fishing sign there for the devil. Amen? Don't keep going back and say, oh, I failed God again, I failed God again. You have to understand, when you confess something to God and you say, God, I failed you, please forgive me. You come the next day, confess the same thing, God, I failed you. I failed you for the second time. God says, no, it's the first time. You say, how does He do that? Because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you come to God, He gives you a clean slate every time. You know what? Let's say out with the old failures, in with the new victories. Number 6. How about out with the old excuses and in with a new resolve? It's easy to make excuses. I have a note here. It says, it's better to try to help the lame than to make a lame excuse. Listen, I'm talking to the faithful crowd now. You can get up for Sunday school. You can. You can serve the Lord. I think of an article that was published on the internet this week about why you should serve in the church nursery. And it was a couple of our folks here had put it out. It's such a great article. You can serve the Lord. Amen. Anybody can make an excuse, but I'll tell you what's going to happen to every excuse one day at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going in the fire and it's coming out ashes. Listen, let's say, you know what? Yeah, I made an excuse maybe why I didn't read my Bible or why I never come out soul winning. Let's just say forget those excuses. Let's get a new resolve. You know, in Luke chapter 9, you read the story there. The man just came to Jesus and said, "I'll follow you anywhere you go." Jesus said, "Well, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." One came and said, "Hey, I want to follow you, but I just had a relative that just died." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." And you know what? They were giving excuses. Let's put away the excuses, folks. Let's leave them where they belong. Out with the old. Amen? Out with the old. In with the new. Out with the old excuses. In with the new resolve. I am going to serve the Lord this year. How about this one? Out with the old difficulties, in with the new opportunities. Someone said a pessimist is a person who sees the difficulty in every opportunity. And an optimist is a person who sees an opportunity in every difficulty. Casey Stengel was a Hall of Fame player. And then he went on to a managerial career that was terrible, actually, until he went to the New York Yankees. And he won 5 World Series in a row. It's never been duplicated. In my opinion, it never will be duplicated. Came to him late in his life and asked him about the current state of baseball. And he said, and this was in 1962, right around there. He said, "Here's the problem with the young people today. You say to them, 'Here is the opportunity.' And they say, 'Where is the money?'" Ladies and gentlemen, you know what 10 spies saw when they went into the promised land? They saw the difficulty. Listen, I don't pretend that things are getting easier to be a Christian. I just think it's getting easier to spot the real Christians. Amen? Because the chaff gets burned away, and those who really, truly love the Lord are going to shine forth. I'll tell you this. They saw the difficulty, and Caleb and Joshua said, "Difficulty? The Lord's on our side. What an opportunity to go in and conquer." Amen. Listen, anything we do for the Lord is going to be filled with difficulties. You know what Vacation Bible School is? A week of difficulties. I tell you what, everything happens. I think of, you know, we had Friend Day. We saw that beautiful Friend Day with Brother Mitchell and the carnivals. You know, of all the Sundays of the year, what Sunday did the bus break down? Friend Day. The only time, amen, where's Brother Curry? The only time the bus broke down was on Friend Day. Wrought with difficulty. We could have just thrown up our hands and said, "Well, forget it." No, we saw the opportunity. And listen, let's say out with the old difficulties. Let's just stop seeing every difficulty and see the opportunities before us. We got great opportunities before us this year. 2014. Out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old master, in with the new master. Out with the old nature, in with the new nature. Out with the old sins, in with the new spirit. Out with the old offenses, in with the new love. Out with the old failures, in with the new victories. Out with the old excuses, in with the new resolve. How about this? Out with the old sight, and in with the new faith. I don't know about you. There are times when I don't like living by faith. You don't have to say amen. I'll say oh me. Okay? I like being in the driver's seat, Brother Ken. But you know what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't see how God is going to do this. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can walk by faith. I don't see how I can give $5 more to missions this year. You don't have to. Pray about it and trust Him. Trust Him more this year than you did last year. So many times we're guilty of that simple sin of just living by sight. This is what I can do for God. Maybe God wants more. Come on now. Maybe God wants you to trust Him by faith. I could never do that. You're a prime candidate. I said that, I think, 16 years ago. I could never teach a Sunday school class. God said, you're right. But I could help you. If you put your faith in me. So let's say out with the old sight, in with the new faith. Out with the old difficulties, in with the new opportunities. How about this one? And we'll not dwell here long, but out with the old apathy, in with the new zeal. Sometimes the longer we're saved, the crustier we become. You saved? Eh. Sure don't look like it. Hey, listen, folks. And then because of that, because we see folks, listen, and I praise God for all the folks last year. I appreciate Pastor Donald starting off with baptisms. Amen. And I appreciate all the folks that were baptized last year. But if we're not careful, those of us that have been saved a while can say, yeah, where are they? Yeah. Listen, let's not turn into a spiritual cynic and get apathetic. Well, you know, I mean, we were talking yesterday, just talking about how, you know, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is going to return. Amen. But it also says in the last days, perilous times shall come. So if we're not careful, that can become a fatalism amongst us. We say, well, just got to get bad. And so we just, you know, got to hold on to the side of the boat. And instead of actively trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, which is what the church is supposed to do. Let's say, out with that old apathy. Out with that Laodicean lukewarmness. Amen? In with the zeal. The Bible talks about, in Galatians 4:18, to be zealously affected in a good thing. Well, I don't know any more good thing than Jesus Christ. And you know what He ought to do? Zealously affect us. I was talking to Pastor Donald on the platform today, and he was saying, preacher, I appreciate you not canceling this morning, and you know, I know it's going to get dicey later and that and whatnot. And I said, one of the things that I thought about was a couple of weeks ago, I got home from church, sat down on the couch while my wife was making lunch, and I turned on the TV, and it was in Philadelphia. And it was the Philadelphia Eagles against the Detroit Lions. And it was snowing. I mean, snowing. One of the players, the receiver for the Lions, Calvin Johnson, got tackled in the middle of the field, and he got up, and they had the camera on him, and his whole face mask was full of snow. And I looked out there, and I saw 60,000 people filling a stadium in Philadelphia. You know what? We should have a little zeal for the Lord. A little zeal for the Lord. Oh, I'm not saying that is any sort of comparison, but I'll tell you this, those people are serious about their team. We ought to be serious about the Lord. We ought to be zealous about Him. Oh, by the way, you don't have to be a jerk. We're not Westboro Baptist Church. Amen. We love people. We love the Lord. Amen. We want Him to know Him as our Savior. So let's say out with the old apathy. And in with the new zeal. Yeah, we've tried that before. Just get away from that. Amen? We're going to try it again. We're going to try and go forward for the Lord. So out with the old apathy, in with the new zeal. Lastly, out with the old selfishness and in with the new Christ-likeness. When I look at sins that beset me, they all go back to self. They all reside in self. And Jesus was talked about by Paul when he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." What is the mind of Christ? Others. Not me. Not what I can get out of things. Not where I can have my name lifted up or I can get the pat on the back, but that others could be helped and blessed. Ty Cobb was, in many people's estimation, the best baseball player that there ever was. I take exception because Babe Ruth could pitch, and he was almost a Hall of Fame pitcher before he was a Hall of Fame batter. But I wouldn't argue with somebody. When he retired, Ty Cobb had set 90 records, some of them which are still in existence today. He was the first member elected of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was a man of notorious temperament. He used to file his spikes and come in high. Spiked many a player back then. He, on his deathbed, received Christ as his Savior. It was the ultimate 11th hour conversion. It was the thief on the cross salvation. And he said this, "You tell the boys, I'm sorry that it was in the last part of the ninth when I came to know Christ. I wish it had taken place in the first half of the first." Can I take that statement and apply it to us? Out with the old today. Out with the old. Don't wait. Say, "Well, I'll do this eventually." No, you won't either. I have learned in a simple matter of hospitality, if I don't make a decision, I'll never have anybody over. I say to somebody, "Hey, we want to have you over." But I never set a date. You know what happens? Something always comes up. Ty Cobb had no more time left. And you know what? Each one of us, we don't know how much time we have left. So let's say out with the old and in with the new. Out with those old things that beset us. Out with those old sins. Out with that old nature. Out with that old flesh. Out with that old master. Out with those old offenses. And out with those old excuses. It's a new year. Each one of us gets a fresh start. Isn't that great? Clean slate, fresh start. Let's take advantage of it. Out with the old and in with the new. Father,